Everyone can stand up and read this together. Honor God's word. Okay. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be comforted of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring a charge against those who have chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is that who condemns? Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, and we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Lord God, again, we're here to meet with You. Just pray that Your hand be on Pastor Tom to hear Your words, Lord, Your infallible word. In Jesus' name, by Your power, amen.
And if you haven't turned in your Bible already to Romans chapter 8, please do so. And there is an outline as well that will go along with the sermon and the PowerPoint. And I'm not sure if the outlines are soggy as well as the bulletins. We're not sure what happened with that. They were sitting on Miss Sue's desk all weekend, and somehow or another they got soggy. We do apologize for that. Don't ring them out, then you won't be able to read it after that. So we're continuing in our series in Romans. And if you haven't turned there, please do to chapter 8. And we're looking at this last passage of Scripture in chapter 8. Now, it is a very large chunk of Scripture here. And we probably won't be able to, you know, do justice to all of it. But there's several things that I really want to focus on. And by way of introduction, let me ask you a question. How many of you had people say to you when perhaps things have been going difficult, or you've encountered some problems, some difficult situations, and people will say, oh, you know, all things are going to work out. You know, don't worry about it. All things are going to work out for the best. Oh, by the way, does anybody need one of the outlines? If you need an outline, raise your hand and one of our ushers will get that to you. Okay, looks like we're good. Very good. Anybody ever had that experience where some, you know, people say to you, oh, you know, it's all going to work out for the good. Don't worry about it. Well, many of you know that sometimes it does not work out for good in the circumstance. Sometimes things get worse. And, you know, it's a reality that we have to be honest about as Christians. You have to be honest about it. Thank you, brother.
Took me a while to figure it out.
Thank you. Still struggling a little bit in my throat, so I appreciate that. Sometimes things go from bad to worse. It's a reality, and we have to be honest about it. What I really dislike sometimes is when I hear preachers, teachers, you know, they kind of tell you that, you know, you should have faith and call the things that are evil and terrible and bad, you know, say that, you know, they're not real. You know, this isn't really happening, or, you know, all kinds of Christian gobbledygook is what I call it. And God doesn't call us to that. In fact, Paul, in talking about the struggles and the sufferings that he's been through, I mean, you know, he really brings it home, doesn't he? He says, you know, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. These are things that he faced himself personally. This wasn't something where it was, you know, and by the way, he didn't say that those things were fun. Oh, hey, I got stoned. See the big lump on my head? It was great, you know? No. No. Those are not good things in and of themselves. You know, when he was dragged out of town, stoned, and left for dead, that was not a good thing. And so for people to sometimes say very glibly, oh, you know, all things are going to work out for the fine, you know, for the best. No, no. But what the Word it does say here, and I want to point this out to you, this is not a question. It is not conditional in the sense of something that we have to do. This is a statement of fact. Verse 28, God works in all things for the good, for them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. That's a statement of fact. This is a statement of fact, something that you and I can lay hold of in our lives and say, Lord, Your Word says, You have said that in all things, You are going to work for our good. You are going to work out things for my good. And so the main point from this context is this, that even in our sufferings, God works for the good of those that He has called so that we can be more like Jesus. It does not say that all things are good. The Scripture is very honest. It does not say all things are pleasant. It does not say you are going to like all things. And by the way, you don't always have to like some of the things that you go through that are bad, that are horrible. So yesterday, I had bought a carpet shampooer online over, you know, eBay. Got it real, real inexpensive online. And it's about time to clean the carpets at home. And the one that, actually, I think we've used it and abused it so much it's fallen apart, the other one. So, bought it online, and rather than have it shipped and pay extra money, it was being sold over in Columbia, Maryland. And so, yesterday afternoon, I decided I'm going to drive over there, and I'm going to get the carpet cleaner. It's like, woohoo, got it. And so I drive over there. By the way, I'm driving my daughter's car, Brittany's car, because we had switched the last time. Right before she left to go back to college, one of her brakes went out, so she took my car. So we're getting ready to switch back, give her car back, even though I don't want to. It's really nice. Leather, LX model. I mean, it's really nice. She says I'm doing this to keep it. So anyway, I'm driving out of Columbia. I picked up the carpet shampooer. I'm driving out of Columbia. I come to a stop sign, and the car goes, ooh. I get turn the key on. Nothing. Call roadside assistance. You know, my gas gauge wasn't empty, but it was, you know, going towards E. I said, maybe pick up some bad gas. Roadside assistant comes, put in some gas. Nothing. We spray some starter fluid in the throttle body, and it starts up and then dies immediately. So, most likely, the fuel pump's gone. And this is a model where the fuel pump's in the gas tank. So it's not something you can, you know, just easily fix on the side of the road. And of course, right at that same time, the car breaks down and starts to rain. You know, it's just, this is great. And do you think that yesterday I was saying, oh, this is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That was not fun. It was not fun. Had to call a tow, had the car towed, a lot of money, all this stuff, you know. You know what? That was horrible. I didn't like that. It was not fun. It was not a good thing. But what I know is that even in the middle of this, God is working this, even this, out for the good of me and my family. Because just think with me for just a second. And this was almost my immediate thought. What if Brittany, who's leaving this afternoon, and she has her roommate Abby with us today. Welcome to you, Abby, again. What if they had left today and it had broken down on them as they're heading down 95 in Virginia? Right? That would really have been very difficult. So, you know, God has His ways of working out things for the good. Now, that's just a kind of a minor example. But Paul has been talking about our sufferings that we go through in this life, and especially as a Christian, that there are sufferings, the sufferings of Jesus that we endure. And we saw last time that there are those specific sufferings because we are Christians, because we have given our allegiance to Christ and we're following Him. And there are also the sufferings that come with just living in this fallen world, this under this fallen creation that we are in. And all of us go through those kinds of sufferings. And the beautiful thing is, what God is trying to help us to understand is, number one, that we are not walking alone through those things. If you know Jesus Christ, if you have invited Him into your life, if you have responded to His call in your life, then you're not walking alone. He's walking with you. He's, by the Holy Spirit, He is holding your hand and walking through it with you. Number two, He wants us to know this morning that He is working these kinds of things out for the good of your life, so that you can be more like Jesus. It is interesting, the first fellow who came to assist me, he brought 5 gallons of gas, and, you know, he was quite a colorful fellow. And at some point, when we're trying to get the car started, and he was a sharp guy, he was checking this, checking that, checked to see if the timing bell had broken. It had not. And as it's not working, and realizing we're going to have to get a tow truck, he said, "I'll hang until the tow truck comes and just make sure that you're okay," which was very nice of him. So we start talking, and he goes, "Oh, so what do you do for a living?" And I said, "Well, I'm a preacher." And he goes, "Oh, man." He said, "And listen to me, all this language I've been throwing at you the last few minutes." And I said, "Well, sir," I said, "I look at it this way." I said, "The Lord's listening all the time, so don't, you know, it doesn't really matter what I hear. The Lord's listening all the time." And he just kind of looked at me, you know. But we got to talk a little bit about the Lord. And, you know, he said, "You know, I've recently gone through a divorce. I was married 21 years. Went through a divorce." And he said, it's been kind of tough. And then he talked about the girl he's with now. And they're living together and so on and so forth. And gave me an opportunity to say, "You know, my wife and I have been married 30 years. And the way that we've kept from getting divorced, and even more so from killing each other, is that we've kept the Lord Jesus Christ first in our marriage. We've submitted ourselves first individually to Him, and then we've submitted our lives to Him because His calling has been there on our lives to follow Him and to put Him first in our lives." And so, I said, if you will do that in your life, you can know that God is going to work all things for good in your life, even something like this. And he just kind of looked at me and shook his head. But he was a nice guy, and we had some good conversations. I knew at that point that there was purpose in why this had happened. More purposes than just my own life. Who knows what this gentleman has been hearing? Who knows who has been sowing into his life the Word of God, and that I came along and watered it? Who knows? God knows. God knows. And so we can be sure, because it is His purpose to conform us, to make us more like Jesus, we can be sure that even in sufferings, even in hardship, even in persecution, even when terrible, horrible things happen to us, God is working for our good. Now, here's what I want you to do for just a second. I want you to clear your mind for a second. And I want you to think of something recently, or maybe even presently, that you're going through right now. It's very difficult. And I want you to understand and know, by God's Word, God is working His purpose in this. And His purpose is to conform you, to make you more like Jesus. Now, let's break some of this down a little bit. When it says that God works in all things for the good of those that love Him and are called according to His purpose, First of all, we have to understand two things. Number one, that God works. What does that mean? God works. The word works means that He gives us assistance. Could we bring that up, Jim? The word work, here we go. To give power to us, to assist us, to labor together with us. That sounds like the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Remember what Jesus said? I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and He's going to be with you, and He's going to be in you forever. The Holy Spirit is the agent of God on the earth, and He works in us, bringing the power of God, dunamis. He brings it into our lives and assists us. That's why we sing these kinds of songs, as we sang earlier, where it says, you know, those who are weak, those who are empty, those who are thirsty. These are, you know, words that we use to describe our state of being. Now, listen, if you're sitting here today and you feel like, man, I'm not weak. I'm not poor. I'm not empty. I'm just fine. Okay, you might want to check out for the next 20 minutes as I preach then, because that's what I'm preaching about. You see, if you think that you're just fine the way you are, you won't hear God's call. And you won't be open to what He has for you. You see, if you think that you're just fine where you are, and by the way, most of the people on planet Earth think they're fine. It was Blaise Pascal, centuries ago, who said, there is within each one of us a God-shaped hole that only God can fill. Our hearts are empty until they are filled by God Himself. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. You see, every one of us has that God-shaped hole, and only God can fill it. You see, because when all the fun, all the activity, all the excitement dies down and you lay your head on the pillow, you and I know that either we're alone or we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. I don't know about you, but there were those times when I had to lay my head on the pillow and know that, I'm lacking something. I'm missing something here. I need to know the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. And so the Lord works in us for those that He has called. Okay? For those who He has called. Those that love Him and those that He has called. Now, what we're going to see in just a few minutes is that the ones that He calls are the ones that love Him, because He actually enables us to love Him by His call. So my question to you this morning as we start out is, are you called? And have you responded to the call of God? John 6:44, Jesus said these words, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Did you see that? No one. Not you, not me, not the Pope, not the preacher. Not anyone. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. You see, God is working all the time, and His call goes out, and He is drawing us. The invitation is there. And when He says He calls us, watch this, He invites us. This is what that word means. To call us means to invite us as to a banquet. To invite us as to a banquet, and then to appoint us. Here's an illustration. You receive in the mail an invitation to a wedding, like we just had here Friday night. Right, Randy Scull and Juliana Pacheco got married, and they're not here today, so don't look for them. But we received an invitation, as with many other weddings that happened over this past year. We received an invitation. The invitation was there. We were invited to the wedding and to the reception, the banquet to follow. See, and what we had to do is we had to write on there, "Yes, I will come." And we sent it back. You see, once that was completed, once we responded to that, they then put us on a list that, hey, you're coming, you're appointed, you're part of it. Now, there's a parable that Jesus gave in Matthew 22, I'm jumping ahead. Well, it's kind of blurring together. We'll skip Acts 2:39 for right now. I'm asking the question, have you responded to the call of God? Jesus gave a parable. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. Ron Walters is going to read that for us.
You know, can we back up and go to 13? Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot. Back up one more for me, Jim. I'm so sorry.
Okay, let's stop right there. You remember the parable? It says the master gives a banquet and he sends out invitations. Many people come. They're in the banquet. They're actually starting the banquet. They're celebrating. They're having a wonderful time together. They're eating delicious food. They're having a great time together. And the master looks over and he sees one guy who's not dressed appropriately for the wedding. And he looks at him and he says these words, friend, and again, this is a parable, right? And Jesus is using this to teach us something. He says, friend, the master says, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless, okay? Verse 13. The king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What? Man, just because the guy don't have wedding clothes? Man, that sounds mean. But see, you would miss the parable if you don't understand this. And that is, in a wedding banquet in that day, the wedding clothes were provided for you. All you had to do was put them on. So this man, basically, was refusing to put on the appropriate wedding clothes. Now, what does that mean? It's illustrating that God provides salvation for us. He calls us. We must respond and receive His salvation, and then we are clothed, so to speak, in the appropriate clothes for God's wedding banquet. The man who refuses to put the clothes on, the man who refuses to respond to the call of God, will be thrown out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, thrown away from the banquet. Oh, would God do that? Listen, God did not send His Son to die on the cross so that you and I could have a casual attitude about what He did. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if you think God's fooling around with that, then you're going to be treading on thin ice. I know there's a lot of religions in the world that say, oh, you know, that's exclusive claim, and how dare you Christians make that claim. Listen, we're not making that claim. Jesus Christ Himself made that claim. And so He provides the clothes for us. Let me read. Or actually, John Rich is going to read. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. That talks about the grace, the salvation that God provides for us. Brother John?
For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
I want to make sure we understand this. If you have responded to the call of God, if you have heard God call you and say, come to me, this is how it's happened. It is by grace, God's unmerited goodness, unmerited favor, unmerited forgiveness, unmerited mercy, His grace, the acronym for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. There's the response. Through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Listen, if you're here today and you are trying to work your way to heaven, you're trying to perform in a way that you feel that somehow if I could just do a little better, I will be acceptable to God. Somehow if I can just, you know, sin a little less, somehow I can, you know, make up for all the sins I've done, you know, then God will accept me. You're misunderstanding the gospel. It is by grace you're saved. And that grace is free. That grace is a gift. And what we have to do is by faith, receive it. Through faith, receive it. Sometimes I hear Christians say this, and I want to correct this. They'll say, oh, you know, I accepted Jesus Christ. I understand what you're saying, but you really need to correct your language. You didn't accept Jesus. He accepted you. You responded to his call, because no one can come to him unless the Father draws you. And so it's not something that, you know, you've merited this by even by your decision. Receiving or responding to Christ is not a meritorious work. It is simply a response of grace to the grace that God is giving to us. In just a minute, we're going to look at the chain of salvation, the golden chain of salvation, of how God works it. And the reason I'm saying this, listen, I'm saying this because I want us to have great assurance in our salvation. Because if you understand that God has saved me through His grace, and I have merely responded, then you're going to have assurance. Even when you doubt, even when you sin, even when you fail, you are going to have great assurance that, God, you called me. I didn't make this happen. God, you drew me. You called out my name, God, and I responded to your grace. It's not on my performance. It's not that God has a checklist, and if I could just get it all checked off. I remember going through some evangelism training, and they said, use the illustration of three sins a day. So, the idea of us being good is to consider a pretty good person, okay? A person that only sins three times a day. Three times a day, they sin somehow in word, in deed, or thought. I mean, let's be honest, that's a pretty good person, isn't it? I mean, compared to me, that's a pretty good person. I don't know about you, but compared to me, that's a pretty good person. Three times a day, you know, multiply that probably by 15 or 20 for me. But even a person such as this, a person that only sins three times a day, think with me over an average lifespan, 70, 80 years. Three times a day, times 365 days for the year, that's 1,000 sins a year, approximately, times 70 or 80 years. That's 70 or 80,000 sins. 70 or 80 transgressions against God's law, against God's purposes, against God's holiness. Now, let me ask you something. Do you want to stand before God with those odds? I don't know about you, but I sure don't. I mean, I can picture myself carrying this in just humongous sack, you know, dragging it behind me, you know, just filled with my sins and saying, God, I tried my best. I tried my best, God. Will you accept me? And God will just shake his head and say, lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. It's already been done. The payment for your sins has been made in Christ. We're going to skip ahead here. Number two. Well, let me wrap up this segment here. If you have not yet responded to the call of God through Christ, listen, today is the day. Today is the day. There's some of you here, maybe you've been coming out to Iron the Lines Church for a while, or maybe this is even the first time, and you're just, you know, checking this out. You're just trying to understand this Jesus thing. There's a purpose, there's a reason that you're here today. God doesn't make mistakes. God, you know, we talk about coincidences. No, God is purposeful in your life and my life, and He's working all these things for good. So He's worked it that you are here this day. And if you are here today, here's what the Word says. If you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. If you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. But rather, respond in faith. Respond in faith. Say, yes, Lord, I want to know You. Yes, Lord, I want to be forgiven. Yes, Lord, I want to have new life. Yes, Lord, I want a fresh start. Yes, Lord, I want the gift of Your Spirit in my life. Yes, Lord, I want all that You have for me. Yes, Lord. And you see, if you'll do that, as it says later in Romans chapter 10, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and then you confess with your mouth that He is Lord of your life, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, your mouth that you confess, and you are saved. That's our response. Is that you today? Is that you today? Maybe the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart. Maybe He's calling you, saying you need to come to Jesus this morning. Well, let's look a little bit deeper at this process of us being called and responding to the call of God and being saved. Number two, God foreknew us so that He has called us and predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. I mean, that's what the second part of verse 29 and 30 says, right? We know, verse 28, and we know in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Stop right there. That's big fancy language for meaning God wants you and me to become more and more like Jesus. In these things that He's working in your life and my life, His purpose is that you and I become more and more like Jesus. He wants us to have a heart and a mind that is being transformed more and more into the image, into the likeness of Jesus. Meaning that you're going to look like a little Jesus running around. I'm not talking about physically. Now, some of y'all have, you know, long Jesus hair and long Jesus beard. That's okay. That's all right. You should have seen me when I got out of college. They looked like a lumberjack. My hair never grew down. It grew out. My beard grew out. So I don't know how Brenda ever married me. Well, I got cleaned up for the wedding. So. But God tells us here that He foreknew us. Watch this. Now, you know, I want you to strap in for a minute because this is going to blow your mind. Now, a lot of people take this part as negative, but it's not negative. It is awesome. When you understand this correctly, it is just awesome. So strap in. To foreknow us, God foreknew us, means to know beforehand, to foresee and ordain it. God knew you and me. He knew that you and I were going to respond to His call from eternity past. I mean, wait a minute. How is that possible? Well, I want you to think with me for just a second. Go back with me in the aeons of time to the point where time didn't even exist. All that existed was God. Right? Because it says, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God. That's where it started. God created. That's where time began. Created the heavens and the earth. And time, humanly speaking, by the way, didn't begin until the moon and the sun were created. It wasn't 24-hour periods until the moon and the sun were created. But back up off of that. In the beginning, God. All there was is God. And in the mind of God, in the infinite, all-powerful, omniscient, meaning all-knowing mind of God, God looks down through the ages and He sees you and me. He sees that you and I are going to respond to the call of God. And therefore, knowing and seeing this, He ordains it. What? That blows my mind. But let me ask you a question. How could it not be? If God is God, if God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, if God created all things, how could it be any other way? How could God not know? You think that God somehow just rolled the dice? You know, and okay, well, this one gets saved and that one doesn't. No. God knew you and me before the beginning of time. In eternity past, He foreknew us. And then, watch this, He then predestined us, meaning to appoint us beforehand to become like Jesus. In our salvation is purpose. It means to make us to become more like Jesus. Now, a lot of people say, well, I guess then I didn't have a choice. Oh, you have a choice. You still have to respond in real time. You and I must still respond in real time. You and I must respond in faith. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. You and I must have faith and respond to God. Now, a lot of people take that as negative. that, well, it just makes me a robot. No, it doesn't. God works with us personally. God works with us individually. He knows everything about you and me. And He foreordained that you and I would be in this room in 2015 hearing His Word. And if you have not yet responded to the Lord, He is waiting, calling you to respond. 1 Peter chapter 3, "For it is not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and be saved." Some people say, "Oh, well, does that mean that God doesn't want some to be saved?" Of course not. He's made His will clear. And then He goes on. The golden chain of salvation, verse 30. "Those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified." So if He's called you, He's justified you in Christ. It's not on the basis of your performance. And He's even glorified you, meaning God looks at you as the finished product. When God looks at you, He sees you in Jesus as the finished product. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. I don't know if you ever experienced this, but, you know, we go through the day and we're so thankful for His grace and His love in our lives, and, you know, we're trying to serve Him, we're trying to worship Him, trying to put Him first in our life, and then you screw up. You know? You blow it. You say something, you respond in a way that you shouldn't, you fall into an old habit, you know, you don't do the right thing. And I don't know about you, but all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, man. God, I can't believe that you even love me. I can't even believe that you like me. I can't believe that you accept me, Lord." But you see, that's human thinking. I'm thinking out of the flesh. I'm thinking on a human level. I have to think on God's level, God's truth, that when God looks at me and you, if we are saved in Christ, He sees us finished in Christ. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins have been covered. You see, it's not that you just get forgiven up to today, but from tomorrow on, watch out. You know, if I sin tomorrow, man, I'm in trouble. No. How many sins did Jesus die for on the cross? All of them. Past, present, and future. He died for all sins, for all people, for all time. That's why you and I can be free. That's why we can respond to the call of God. So we are not only justified, made right with God, but we are actually glorified. He looks at you and me as the finished product. Where did all this happen? In the mind of God. In the mind of God. Now I encourage you, go back to the Old Testament and begin to read. Begin to read through the book of Isaiah. You see, because the gospel is in the book of Isaiah. It's in the prophet of Isaiah. Go back and read Job. And you'll have a different perspective of the things that Job went through. And you'll also have a different perspective about the times that Job gets a little bit uppity with the Lord. When he kind of, you know, accuses God of being unfair. Go back to the prophet Jeremiah. Go back to any of the prophets and you will see how God is working in His people to bring about His will, to bring about a place where you and I will look more like Him, like His Son, Jesus Christ. Lastly, and we'll wrap up with this, number three, in all these things, listen, even if we don't fully understand that, and I got to be honest with you, I try to explain this as best I can. You know, I've studied it for years, and I feel like I know about that much. Really. My little pea brain can't wrap itself around this incredible truth of God. In fact, later on, chapter 11, Paul says, "Oh, the depths and the riches of the glory of God, who can know it? It's beyond searching out. It's beyond tracing it out." But our minds can wrap around it enough to know the basics, the truth. And in this, even if we don't understand it, we don't fully comprehend it, we are more than conquerors, number three. We are more than conquerors because Jesus said nothing, through Jesus, nothing can separate us from His love. That's what the whole rest of this chapter is all about. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? He didn't spare His Son. How will He not give us all things if He gave His Son up for us? Who brings the charge against us? No one. No one can bring a charge against us because we're covered in the blood of Christ. Who condemns? No one, because Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us. Praying, as we looked last week, praying for you and for me, and the Holy Spirit is praying in us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or suffering or work situations or family situations or job situations? Will any of these things separate us from the love of God that is in Christ? No. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now, you and I have to begin to act like conquerors and not conquered. You see, if you act like you're conquered, you see, you can live like that. You can choose to live like that. You know, you can choose to, just be afraid of everything all day long. You can speak words rather than of life. You can speak words of death. You know, so, I'm never going to get anywhere in life. I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm never going to have a job. I'm never going to have a spouse. I'm never going to have a job. I'm never going to do well. I'm never going to get through school. You know, you can have those words of death, or you can live like a conqueror and say, if God is for me, who can be against me? I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. All things means all things for you. Okay, I had a guy say to me, oh, if I could do all things, can I go up on the roof and jump off and be okay? I said, no, stupid, you're going to break your leg. That doesn't mean you can do all things in the sense of anything. It means all things that God wants you to do. If you go jump off the roof, you're going to break something. If you go drive your car into a telephone pole, you're going to smash your car and probably your head. Don't be stupid. There's times that I've thought that, oh, I can do anything. I'm going to go do this. I'm crazy. Misunderstanding. One time, a buddy of mine, Don, he got in this really nice Dodge Charger. A 440 Hemi in that thing. And we decided we were going to go racing. We were going down this stretch of highway in South Jersey. And, man, we were pushing it over 100 miles an hour. Just passing cars like unbelievable. And then all of a sudden, around this corner comes this big semi. And guess what? There wasn't any room in the lane we're supposed to be in. And we're like, what are we going to do? I said, there's a restaurant over here with a gravel driveway. I said, you need to pull over in that thing. And we pulled in that thing and spun around. You're crazy. You do those kind of things, you're going to get hurt. So I'm not endorsing that. Even though it was fun. Don't do that. Don't listen to Pastor Tom. We are more than conquerors. Listen to what this word means. A conqueror is a one who vanquished beyond. One who has surpassing victory. Not one who barely has a victory. One who surpasses in victory. Meaning I can live in life as a victor, as a conqueror. Sure, there's going to be things that knock me down. Sure, there's things I'm going to have to go through them, and they're not fun, they're not pleasant, but I'm not going to get knocked down and stay down. I'm getting back up. You know what success is for us as Christians sometimes? Just getting back up one more time. Just getting back up one more time. I sent a text to somebody this morning because you know what's happened in their life? They've fallen down. And you know what? They just refuse to get back up. And what they need to do is get up one more time. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I failed yesterday, and I even failed today. And, you know, listen, the Lord doesn't care. He wants you to do better. But first and foremost, get back up. Walk the walk. Jesus endured the cross. We can endure whatever things that He has in our lives with His strength. Amen? We can do it. I know it's not easy sometimes. Some of you are struggling with some very difficult things. And then watch this. The end of the story. The end of the story. When I say, as the Word says here, He's glorified us. This is what's going to look like when God completely fulfills His promises to us. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 4. Brother Bruce Gordon is going to read that for us.
And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying,
Now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will live with them.
Yes.
They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Amen. Amen.
There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed.
Amen.
And yesterday was my wife's birthday.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Brother Bruce lost his dear wife of many years, Joan, to cancer. When the time's coming, he's going to be reunited with her into a life, into a living status with the Lord who is with us personally. And no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, no more suffering. All this is going to be over. He's going to roll this old earth up and make a new heaven and a new earth. And he's bringing about a new order of things. My question is, for you, are you going with him? Have you heard his call? And are you seeking to live out his call in your life? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, for the promise of your word, Lord, that you are with us. You are working out all things in our life for your good, for your purposes, Lord, to make us more like Jesus. Lord, we have to confess there's times when it's not fun. We don't like what you're doing, Lord, sometimes. But yet we know, Lord, that you are doing it for a purpose. You are bringing about your purposes in our life, Lord. And so we rest in that. We trust you in this, Lord, that you are doing your work. Lord, I want to pray for the ones that are here today that maybe they don't quite understand your calling. That's you today. There's something that you have to know, that you will not understand his calling until you respond to him, because it's a revelation. But if you hear his voice and you hear him calling and you respond, then God will open your heart and your mind and you will begin to see the truth. You will begin to see things from his perspective. You will begin to see the real truth. And so if that's you today, I want to encourage you, open your heart. Respond by faith to his call. At the close of the service, I want to invite you to come on up and talk with us. If you are ready to pray to receive Christ, we'd like to pray with you, help you to open your heart to Christ. And then if there's those of you today that you're here, you're struggling, there's difficult things going on in your life, take heart, my brother, my sister, take heart. Know the purpose of God is that he is conforming you to the image of Christ. Know that he is working for your good, even though it may not look that way or feel that way. Take heart. Stand strong. Cry out to him for strength. Cry out to him so that he can have his way. Say, yes, Lord, have your way in my life. Father, I pray over these people. I thank you for their attention to your word. I pray that you would bless them and minister the truth of your word to their heart, Lord. May they go away feeling that and understanding that you are for us, not against us. I pray this over them in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. If that's you, if you need prayer, if you want to know what it means to know Jesus, come on up. Some of our elders and deaconesses will be up here to pray with you. Take time to greet each other and God bless you all. Thank you.